Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael Hooker. Today I am joined with Mr. Whitehair.
All right, let's go.
A different kind of scenery here. not expecting to be with Mr. Whitehair this morning.
That's all right. But again, we're having a good morning. You know, we're dry. Hopefully everybody else is dry. Are you dried off from last night?
I mean, yeah, I was really, really, really soaked.
Yeah, and Zion both. Zion called the game. He walked out without a jacket. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yep, I'll be fine. And then he turned the corner, you know, to the back lot and basically almost got swept off his feet by the wind.
Oh, the wind was bad. We were struggling. I was struggling to do warm-ups because sometimes I'll be like on one foot trying to balance.
Right.
And I nearly fell over because of the wind, because the gusts were up to 55, yeah. I think, last night. But it was an average of 20 to 30 miles per hour.
It was a hurricane in Indiana. All right. Yeah. So welcome everybody to the Coach Show for this Saturday morning, September the 28th. We're already almost to the end of September, but we had a lot of good action last week.
Yeah,
Michael.
We did. Yeah, we did. Starting things off, we got girls soccer.
Right.
They started their week off at Delta. That was last Saturday. They won that match 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've had HSC come here right. on Monday.
Okay.
HSC, very good program. We know that they're very good at every sport. Big school. They unfortunately fell to HSC 6-0.
Okay.
So not something you really like to see on the scoreboard, 6-0. But then on Wednesday, they traveled to New Pal and won 3-1.
Nice.
So a good bounce back win after a tough loss to HSC at home.
Right. You got a couple of Hoosier Heritage Conference wins there. You know, you face a tough HSC opponent, and obviously they learned something from it because they came back and beat the Dragons, Lady Dragons, 3-1 last Wednesday.
Yeah, and that's what you like to see, growth from a team.
Absolutely, absolutely. Switching over to the boys' side of things, the boys' soccer took on Heritage Christian a week ago. They beat them in a shootout 6-3. A lot of goals being scored there. And keeping with the six-goal theme from your Arabians, they were traveling to Newcastle last Tuesday, and they won that one 6-1 as well. And then they played last Thursday against a very tough Mount Vernon opponent who unfortunately found the winner within the last 2 minutes of that game. And the Marauders took the win 1-0, and they won the Hoosier Heritage Conference Championship that night with a perfect 7-0 record in the conference. So congratulations to them, but also congratulations to the having a great week, the Arabian boys soccer team. You know, a couple of six goal games, that's nothing to be mad at there.
No, that's, I mean, that definitely shows to this team and to this coach, you know, what they're made of and how they can just run the score up on really any team. I mean, we saw it earlier in the year.
We like to see that.
We do like to see teams running it up, running the scoreboard up against people. We saw it earlier. I think they had a 9-0 match earlier in the year. So
nice.
So this team is very solid. They played a very tough Mount Vernon team. And some of the boys on the soccer team, one of them, our place kicker, Wyatt DeBertrand.
Right.
He's not too happy with it, but he said, you know, you got to live and you got to learn with it. So
absolutely.
Switching things over now to a different sport.
Right.
We got girls golf.
Yep.
They had sectionals this past week.
Yep.
That was
on
Monday.
Yep.
Yeah. The team, not a good enough performance as a team to make it to regionals, but we do have a solo golfer going to regionals.
Right.
That is Addison Summerall.
Go, Addie.
So congrats to her making it to regional. We love to see any Arabian athlete making it far in the tournament.
Absolutely, and especially, too, the fact that we have our own Layla Reef who's on the girls' golf team, and she competed in that match. And so, you know, we were proud of her and proud of the girls' golf team really showing off their skill sets, and just good luck to Addy in the next round of the girls' state tournament taking on regionals. I'm not sure when that is. We'll have to double check that, but we'll have updates for you on all of our socials coming up here in the next week.
Yeah, golf is a hard sport. I'm not very good at golf. So congrats to you, Addy, for being good at golf.
Yeah. Better than Michael and I, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, volleyball this week. It was a very tough week for volleyball. Three losses on the week, one win, though.
A lot of tough opponents.
I mean, they played four games in 4 days.
Yep.
Fishers on Monday, lost that one 3-0.
Yep.
Traveled to Newcastle on Tuesday, lost that one 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Traveled to Madison Grant on Wednesday, did come out with a win 3-0.
Right.
And came back home Thursday night and lost to Hamilton Heights 3-0. So the volleyball team kind of in a slump recently.
Well, just from last week. But, you know, the one bright spot I'll say about that is there's only one HHC loss there. All right. So again, you know, the lone bright spot there where, you know, you only lose to Newcastle there 3-1, three games to one. And so obviously looking for a bounce back this coming week. But, you know, you definitely have some bright spots on that team. And I know Coach Barksdale's going to get that squad, you know, in good shape for the coming week. But proud of the fight in the Lady Arabians. And I know that we've got more good things to come from them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see from the volleyball team. They don't quit.
Nope.
That was kind of the thing that they were proud of in the New Pal game from a couple weeks ago.
Right.
They unfortunately lost 3-0, but you could tell looking at the game and watching back on the game that they weren't quitting. And, you know, sometimes teams, when they get down like that, they just kind of quit. And you don't want to see that from a team ever. You want to see them keep fighting, and that's kind of a point of emphasis.
We're not seeing that from our Lady Arabians, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Cross country, though, this is a big one. This was something that I was surprised to read because I'm not always as up to speed on my cross country stats as you are, Michael. But
neither am I.
The Madison County tournaments, the Madison County cross country invites was this past week on I think it was that Tuesday, and for the 12th straight year, the Arabians, both boys and girls, took home the titles.
I know. Girls was on Tuesday. Boys was on Saturday.
Okay.
Because the girls on Saturday actually had the Athletic Annex Flashback Invitational in Carmel.
Okay, you're right. Yep.
They unfortunately placed 10th, but there were a lot of good schools there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Carmel, Westfield was there, I believe, Hamilton Southeastern. So a lot of big schools. I think Warren
Central.
We always
want to beat Carmel. Like, everybody wants to beat Carmel.
Everybody wants to beat Carmel, especially in girls swimming.
Yeah.
38 state titles in a row.
Got to beat Carmel.
But it's hard to beat Carmel.
Right. So, but again, congratulations to those cross-country teams. You know, 12 straight Madison County Tournament Championships. That's a very impressive. Like you said, boys on a week ago, girls on Tuesday. And last but not least, we've got the boys tennis team. They went over to Delta. And unfortunately, Delta and Coach Cleveland, they have a really good program over there. And so they lost all seven matches there. But it was a solid performance all around from the boys tennis team, from the Arabians. And so nothing to take away from their efforts there. Just ran into a really good Delta program. And, you know, want to thank the Arabians for their efforts. I know that, you know, they've got some more coming up this coming week that we'll talk about later on in the show. But we definitely want to make sure that we mention them before we move out of this first little part of the show. But thanks so much for those Arabians who traveled over to Delta, though, the parents and all the supporters, and showed the Eagles how we do it here in this part of town. And so, or this part of the woods. But, you know, make sure that if you're ever able to travel out to the teams, make sure to support them. Not even if you have a kid there, if you don't have a kid there. It doesn't really matter if you're an Arabian fan. Make sure you're showing up for those teams, and we will have more for that coming up here later on in the show. Who to expect? Who's in action? What teams are in action? Where they're in action at? So on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this first segment here of the ASA and Coach Show. We're going to take a short break, but when we return, we'll be sat down with head coach of the varsity football team, Coach Richmond. You're listening to the ASA and Coach Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Community Sports and Wellness.
fitness, tennis, pickleball, and athletics. Located at 395 South Heritage Way in Pendleton. Phone 765-744-1606. Online at communitysw.com. This 91.7 WEEM sports program is sponsored by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers. Located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome back here to the ASN Coaches Show. If you're just joining us alongside Mr. Wyatt here, my name is Michael Hooker. For this segment, we have head coach of the varsity football team, Coach Richmond. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right, so getting things started here, we're going to take a look back on this past week of action. You guys had your homecoming last night against Mount Vernon. Unfortunately, lost that one 14-10 in the midst of a hurricane here in Indiana. Can you speak a little bit on what you saw last night from the Arabians offensively?
Indecisiveness. That's what I saw. I saw lack of confidence. I saw indecisiveness. I'm pretty discouraged this morning, but I'm very optimistic, and that's a quite a contradiction, I know, but that's how we are as a team right now, you know. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, I'm pretty disappointed. So, but you know, when we make priorities of things other than what's important, that's what happens. So, not blaming anybody. Fault lies with me. I'm the head coach. So we're going to get it fixed today.
And offensively, early on, some snaps that were being fumbled around, a high snap, one snap that fell into the end zone that Mount Vernon recovered. Yeah. But then you guys sort of started to pick it up. I know the rain made it kind of a challenge. What were you preaching to the offense after some of those mistakes were being made?
Well, you know, the high snap hit a little to the right and in the hands. So, you know, another bobbled handoff was out of under center. And so, you know, we got to learn to play the next play. I mean, I keep coming back to this, and it's really our entire school system. But if we're so results driven, we're never going to reach the results that we really want. That's from academics to everything. I mean, we got to focus on day-to-day and what we're doing and consistency. And, you know, I mean, my disappointment started yesterday during the pep session when I watched numerous varsity athletes of other programs walk out with early dismissal, and then I saw two of my own players do that. So I'm not sure why parents would do that, why they would call their kids in, and I'm not going to start that fight, but that's really discouraging. You know, if everybody wants to be one, we all want to support one another, why would we do that? And then, you know, I watched and I almost took over the mic, but I was probably a little too wound up, but I didn't see one student stand up during the school song. But why should they? Because most games I don't see people stand up for it, which is really disheartening. So football team's going to start to lead. The players are going to start to lead on those cultural things, and we're gonna do our part to make this place better in every way we can. And if that means we win football games through it, then that's what we're going to do. But we're going to be the best young men we can be, students, athletes, citizens, everything. I mean, I am been here 9 years, so, you know, I'm armpit deep into this community. And it is my kids go here, and I am bound and determined. You know, I hear a lot of complaints sometimes about our school spirit. Well, okay, it's on us. Let's go. You know, we can complain or we can fix. And so, you know, we look at the offense last night, which was your question, but that's a microcosm of everything, you know. They had fans sitting through the rain. So did we. You know, it was awesome. I can't believe people came out. I mean, let's go, right? And two good teams fighting it out, and we came up short. And a lot of that was self-inflicted. They didn't score after 5 minutes of the game. Our defense was outstanding. We kicked a 35-yard field goal in the rain. I mean, I thought Nate DeRolf was incredible. I thought our long snaps were incredible. You know, and we got to make plays. And we had some of our better players. I don't know where they were. I don't know where they were last night. But we're kids and we're human beings and no one's perfect. But we definitely can't we've got to learn to play the next play. And that's true for life.
Talk about the preparation, though, that you have, you know, everybody, all, you know, even if you're just a fan, right, you know that there's preparation that goes into each game, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden Mother Nature changes everything on you. Talk about just that as soon as you understood that this was going to be a different game, what was that mindset like for you and the coaching staff to try and prepare these guys as best you can for what Mother Nature's going to throw at you?
Yeah, well, we do wet ball drill multiple days. It rained on us on Tuesday. We were prepared. You can't prepare for, you can't replicate what happened.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't see because it was hitting my eyeballs. And I know that's hard. But at the same time, it was what it was. Like, you know, life doesn't stop. And, I mean, I watched, and I'm not going to go on a tangent here, but there's a lot harder things than 40-mile-an-hour wind and rain in your eyes. You know, and when you don't trust the guy next to you, and when you're selfish and you do what you want to do instead of what you're supposed to do because you're not disciplined, everything adds up. So all the comfort that we have every day and how nice our worlds are, which we're all blessed, like, it wasn't that way last night. And you can't replicate that preparation for your life. You know, nothing prepared my mom to go through stage 3 cancer and refuse to die.
Right.
And that's pretty serious stuff. But we're a cancer month here coming. And so when I tell the team that when I was 12 years old, 13 years old, I watched my mom defeat cancer, thank God, and we lost her in January, like, you cannot replicate the toughness that I learned as a young man. And we've got those people in this community, and we've got those kids on this team. Yet we are freaked out about wind and rain, you know? And we can't get over ourselves because we've got to get a haircut for a homecoming dance tonight. I hope everybody has a great time. Right. Hope it's an awesome dance because it was a miserable football game. And our result is even more miserable because it's our fault and we gave it away. So the preparation, I apparently didn't do a good job because I don't know. I told them everything. I could go down a checklist of things you're supposed to say as a coach. I could go through and I could give you a checklist of things I do on a daily basis. Nate DeRolf gave a great speech Thursday night on consistency. I'm as consistent as I can be. And, you know, apparently teenagers know more than me. So it's very frustrating and humbling this morning. So I got to be a better teacher.
Speaking a little bit more about the defense, you mentioned them a little bit. Only allowing 7 points in the first 5 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. They obviously, Mount Vernon was able to move the ball, but they were able to close out drives and hold Mount Vernon to really no field goals or no touchdowns past that one that they had early in the game. So what can you really speak on their toughness and tenacity throughout the game?
Man, I thought they were relentless. I mean, their running back is, he's one of the best around. I mean, he's an all-state kind of running back, and the kid's a stud, and we hit him. We tackled him. We hit him. We swarmed him. He had the one run where we missed. We did a poor job on that play. We just didn't make a play. And, you know, we got fighters on this team, and that's what I'm kind of pointing back to with the example of my mom and others. Like, we need fighters that will do and take the hard road. And on that play, we had guys that didn't take the hard road, and they scored, you know. And the rest of the game, they took the hard road, and we need guys in every position to do that, you know? I'm sure it's really hard to sit through a pep session celebrating school spirit the last period of the day on a Friday. That must be really difficult for some of these kids. So maybe that is their hard road. I don't know. But definitely we had some kids rise to the challenge on that defense last night and make plays, and we got takeaways. I mean, you know, we turned it over. They turned it over. They scored points. We didn't score points on it. So we got to be better. And I'm really frustrated, and I hope everybody feels it because it's on all of us, but I'll take it, and it's on me first. So
speaking also to, like, you know, that type of game, the special teams also has to be very, you know, precise in making sure that, you know, the transition of possession and whatnot, and also even the field position game comes into play because of the fact that, you know, Mother Nature's adding that element to it. Talk about the special teams and the execution that you saw last night.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, everybody sees Wyatt kick it through, but Conley and Brandt getting the operation and the blocking. I mean, we did our job. I mean, Nate did a great job on the roll punt. He's healthy. And he's a weapon. Joel did nothing wrong. Nate DeRolf. I mean, holy crap. You know, I mean, he knows we're not going to throw much. And what does he do? He accepts his role. He blocks his butt off. Absolutely works his tail off at receiver. And then maybe the most pivotal plays of the game was our punt team. And he accepted that role and dominated at it. And, you know, it takes 11. Those guys up front, you know, we had one costly holding on a great pin, and then he does it again, you know. And I thought our coverage on that stuff was also really good. The kids did a really good job on punt team last night. And preparation is the same every week, but we're growing up. You know, they got the one KOR back to midfield, but, I mean, you know, I wish we could have returned some punts, and I wish we could have returned the one kickoff that we let roll through, but you know, I don't know that affected the game as much as we allowed it to. I mean, if we ran the ball on them, we didn't execute. So they came off the ball harder than we did. Like, their defensive line, they came off the ball harder than our offensive line. So, and the film doesn't lie. So the rain and wind didn't have anything to do with that. So we got to be better.
More coming up from Coach Richmond here on the ASN Coaches Show right here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. For the second segment here with Coach Richmond, this segment we're going to be looking ahead to this next week. So you guys have Delta this week. You guys are coming off of three tough losses in a row. What are you really hoping to see kind of in practice from some of the players, maybe emotionally or ready to just work?
Well, we can't dwell on the negative. You know, I do think I'm as optimistic as anybody. And while I am discouraged and I'm being honest, you can't sugarcoat problems. You know, you have to be honest, and trust is built on honesty. And I think we need more honesty around here, you know. And I think that'll build more relationships, and that'll build more strength. And our team right now, we can't dwell on the negative. I mean, our guys, you know, this is going to sound really strange maybe, but I don't think they realize their potential. I don't think the young men in this school, I don't know if anybody does, and I don't know why. I don't know why we walk around with our heads down. I don't know why we don't have pride in what we do. I don't understand, but words are damaging. They just are. And so you got to be careful with the words you're telling yourself. I mean, the things that I'm talking about are pretty deep. And, you know, what we say in our head is way more powerful than things said to us. And for the last 3 weeks, I've seen some vulnerable kids working their butts off that for whatever reason aren't putting it all together on the field. And that's what we just got to keep working at. You know, I mean, I was asked last night, you know, what do you do? What do you do, you know, with losses like this? What do you do tomorrow? How do you respond? Similar kind of question, right? I mean, you get up and you go to work. You get up and you go to work and you suck it up and you do what you're supposed to do. You don't take a day. You don't take a minute. You don't mistreat someone. You don't show disrespect to anyone else. You get up and you be better in every way. And the guys laugh at me, but I tell them from the most silly things to the most important, you need to be your best at what you're doing. And it's true. And so we're not going to sit around and mope. And we got fighters on this team, and we've got mopers on this team, and we've got to get those guys up to where the fighters' levels are. And the fighters are the guys that are going to show up and they're going to do the work. But we need more of those helpers. We need more of those guys, you know? I thought there's effort out there last night at times, but the effort, you know, we can pull as fast and as violent as we want on our power plays. But unless our eyes are where they're supposed to be, it's all for naught, you know? And we can really run to the ball. But if we're not in a position to break down and make a play, we're not going to make a play. And so, you know, it's washing machines work really hard, but if they don't get the clothes clean, then they suck. And our kids don't suck here. They are great kids, and they need to perform better. And so that rests with me. And we're going to coach better this week, and we're going to dust ourselves off. And there's a very wounded Delta team up the road, just like us. And so what's going to happen? You know, they got a couple losses in a row here. We got a couple losses in a row here. So who's going to respond better? You know, it's their senior night. Sooner or later, people are going to listen to me. People want to beat us. They want to beat us. So we have to go in with that mindset that we are under attack. And I don't think we always know what that means.
By the way, that was my dad's favorite quote. He loves that Washington Street quote. Talk about, though, the upcoming week of practice. You know, you've been here 9 years. You know what to expect from your players. So how does that change a little bit there? Do you add a little bit here? What do you add? What do you take away? What is it that you want to see? You know, because you've obviously talked about their fight. You know, what does that mean as far as, like, your week to your day-to-day preparation as it comes to the next game Friday night?
You know what I think of when you say that? I don't want to have to tell Keaton Jones he's the most dynamic running back on the field. Right. I want him to believe in himself more. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, sometimes I don't know that he knows that.
Yep.
I don't want to tell Rylan Kiesling, you were one of the most explosive, dominant defenders on the field Friday night.
Right.
I want him to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to take that and exude that so it's infectious to the guy next to him. I don't want Jake Eldridge to doubt anything about his game. He was unblockable. You know, I don't want Jacob Rowley to second guess his abilities for 1 second. That's what I want. That's hard if we're results driven. And all we worry about is, oh, we're 2-4. We lost homecoming. It doesn't matter. What matters is you get up today and you fight. The next checkup's coming. What is in front of you right now? How can you be better today? How can you improve this today? You know, guys that didn't get playing time Friday, we didn't rotate a lot of guys, okay? Okay, maybe you get 2 plays Monday in practice. Make it the best 2 plays you have all day. Or are you going to be frustrated? Are you going to allow that negativity to creep in? And are you going to allow that to just make us not give you 2 plays Tuesday? You know, that's the challenge for all of us. Am I going to get caught up on one little thing so that I don't focus on the team and not get us ready? No, I'm not. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to be consistent, and we're going to get better. And I got to be better. So that's where I have to do a good job. And it's on all of us. So for us, what we add, what we take away, I mean, that's what I want. I don't want to have to teach the most basic stuff. But you know what? Right now I do. I mean, I have to tell my quarterback to be vocal because he's not vocal sometimes. We have to tell those guys these things, you know, and they're kids. And so I hope people are listening, but I don't know. But if all I hear is negativity in the hallway, which I hear once in a while with all sorts of sports, well, that's what guys are going to think. But that's where, you know, we're insecure and we're normal, you know, and that's the way the world is. And, you know, we've got to be above that. And that's hard to do. It's really hard to do, especially this day and age, but that's what we're asked to do to be our best.
And last segment, we mentioned a lot about the rain and Mother Nature throwing a hurricane at you guys last night. This next week, it looks like the rain will be clearing up throughout the week. And for Friday, it looks like it's going to be another great day for some football. So what are you really hoping to prepare your team for with this next week of good weather?
Well, you know, we're going to have a plan and we're going to work the plan, but we got to be ready for the unexpected. And we were ready, you know. There's nothing we did on Friday that we didn't practice at some point during the week. It limited us, maybe, but that still gave us an opportunity to win the game. And so for this week, we've got to be better at what we do. We've got to be better tacklers. We've got to be better blockers. It doesn't matter what happens Friday. I mean, it's a long bus ride. It's their senior night, so there's emotion involved. I mean, there's a long walk from their locker room. That's the way Delta is. So I don't know. I mean, I don't, it's October. I mean, I don't know what other distraction. Oh, it's fall break. I mean, let's add some more on. What else can we add up here? It doesn't matter what else is going on. We have to focus on what's right in front of us, and we have to grow up, and we can't worry. I've seen the growth. People might think I'm naive. I mean, our defense Friday night is so much better than a week ago, and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that. And honestly, our offense is too, because our defense and our competition in practice. But if we're just focused on the results and that negativity, then we're not going to appreciate that growth and have confidence in that growth so that we can apply it this week and Friday. But we got to start passing the tests and be good test takers. And I don't know why we're not. That's to each person. But we're going to find 11 guys that are, because we got them. And that's not pressure. That's just reality.
Zion talked about in the post game last night. He talked about how all of this is getting you ready for sectionals, and you just talked about tests and talked about, you know, your team, you know, passing tests, you know, maybe not to the satisfaction that you want them to right now. And you just mentioned growth. Talk about the growth that you want to see over the next few weeks, you know, because you've talked about it from the maturity level, you talked about it from the communication level. You know, what kind of growth are you really wanting to see over these next few weeks as we get closer and closer to November?
Well, we can't allow factors like the referees to distract us. Last night, I mean, they're drive killers because we were limited, right? At the same time, we didn't adjust. Now, I can question and whatever. It doesn't matter. But we've got to run the football effectively, and we're not right now, just point blank. We're playing against good defenses. And guess what? The defenses are going to be good this week and next week and the following. And if we want to compete for a championship, we have got to run the football and we've got to stop the run. And that will never change. And so we're getting better at those things. We're proving it on defense. We've got to go prove it on offense. And we got the guys to do it. They've got to get back to where they were. I'm not sure where their heads are at. But they got good brains, and they've got great effort, and they are strong, and we have strength in numbers. We've got some injured guys back, and they've just got to go do it, and they have good backs behind them. So it's just a matter of really tightening things up and being consistent, and we'll persevere through this, and we will be better for it if we continue to learn and be humble and be coachable. And you know, we've got to block out the negativity, and we've got to block out the naysayers. I mean, there's so many people right now. That's the way the world is. You know, I mean, you gotta have earmuffs and blinders, and we got to focus on what's most important. And right now, that's some corrections from last night. For some guys, it's some soul searching on what they want to be. And they can't worry about the end. They got to focus on right now, because everybody makes the tournament, like Zion pointed out last night. And, you know, I mean, we make it to the sectional championship. That's 6 weeks away, you know. And I would love to play for a championship with these guys. I mean, they deserve it with all the time and effort and everything they put in. But the world and life doesn't care what you deserve. You have to go earn it. And if you want to survive and you want to fight, it's your choice. And I think we have a bunch of those guys. They've just got to do it together.
All right, well, that will do it for this segment of the ASN Coach Show. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we had a couple of interviews that we got earlier in this week coming up right next. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the ASN Coach Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village, senior living from Cardin. Located at 300 JH Walker Drive in Pendleton, their phone number is 765-778-7501.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. 91.7 WEEM. We welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Kellen Bowers, and joining me is
Coach Brian Beard, Boys and Girls Tennis.
So how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's been a good morning.
Yeah, it's going pretty good for me, too. So getting into the first question, how long have you been coaching tennis?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got introduced to the sport kind of late when I was about 14, played in high school, played in college. I was always doing some type of coaching or assisting, even in high school as a manager. I would say I officially started coaching with a title in about 2015, I coached Anderson University. And that kind of started everything off.
So like, is it pretty fun? Like, are you enjoying being the coach of the tennis team?
Yeah, specifically I'm enjoying being the coach of Pendleton Heights. I run the facility in town, Community Sports and Wellness, which is a big tennis facility. So it's really fun to be at the helm of a sport that's kind of changing the town through culture, and that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
So, like, what goals do you have for, like, the tennis teams this season?
For this season, specifically? Yeah. Well, we're wrapping up the season, so I think most of the goals have either been tried or, you know, we've already finished. You know, we really wanted to just improve. One of our biggest goals this year we did not get, and it is what it is, but we're currently sitting at 10-6, have an opportunity of ending the regular season 12-6. Last year we were 9-8, and that was our first winning season in 12 years. So we're seeing good change immediately. I'm noticing that I think more eyes are on tennis through social media and the things we're doing. It's just becoming more aware. And that's really what I want, is to provide, you know, a culture that the kids are proud to say they're part of, not just why they're here at Pendleton, but as alumni in the future as well.
So, like, do you have any, like, personal goals as a coach for the tennis team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, from what I understand is, I don't know if we've won a team sport state title at Pendleton. I know we've had a lot of great individuals. We've had a lot of really good teams. The athletic culture here has been, you know, very strong for a long time. But if that's correct, that we haven't won a team state title, I would like to bring that through the sport of tennis in the next 5 to 6 years. Mm.
So, as you said, the season was almost over. Were there any teams you were, like, big teams that you were watching out for?
Tennis is hard. You know, it's hard to pinpoint that question specifically, because it's not a class sport. I think a lot of people don't really consider that. You know, if you want to be the best in tennis in the state of Indiana, you have to beat absolutely every single state, every private school, every 5A, 6A, 1A, 2A, whatever it is. So that's hard to identify, because there's so many different levels, right? I mean, there's teams that will beat in 30 minutes, and there's teams that will beat us in 30 minutes. So it's difficult. You know, the biggest thing is, with our new sectional reshaping and having HSE and Fishers and local Hamilton County schools, we need to prepare for the future to go above and beyond those schools. So we dropped a couple teams from last year off of our schedule to make the schedule harder. So, and honestly, having more wins this year on a tougher schedule is, I think, a testament to the boys and the work they've done in the offseason.
So is, like, this a personal choice that you chose to coach tennis, or did you just kind of, like, find it?
Well, I mean, I always played it. I kind of fell into it, to be honest with you. I think it's kind of a fun random fact, but my background is actually in linguistics. You know, my degree is in linguistics, and my undergrad is in French and history and English. So what I was doing was living abroad with a hope of actually continuing to pursue that, either get into more creative writing with literature or continue to teach. I was teaching in Sweden and Germany and lived in France for a bit. So I'm Honduras as well. I've been to a lot of places in my short amount of time. So tennis is kind of a random thing, honestly. And I think what's funny is a lot of times I get, like, put in a box of just being a sports guy or a sports jock, which I love sports, but honestly, art and culture is probably the priority in my life before that. So
that's pretty cool, going around, like, adventuring that also. Like, I have a brother who does that, and he's very, like, he does love, he has done, like, pickleball, just for fun. And then he played soccer here, but he's also, like, he loves, like, adventure. He just came back from Alaska, where he's been doing tour guiding. He's been, like, rafting and stuff. So
that's really cool. But
it's definitely interesting. You know, I think we're really bad in this culture about labeling people so fast in general, or not just culture. I mean, the society right now.
Yeah,
that's true everywhere around the world. But you know, it's like people that, oh, you're Brian, you're the tennis coach at Pendleton, so they immediately just want to ask you about tennis, which is great. I love tennis. Like, I love tennis. But you know what we're trying to do here? Tennis just happens to be the canvas of the overall picture of trying to, you know, build our youth, and I just want, you know, I just want to make better people. So I think it's just funny because when I get a chance to talk about the things that I love in my background, which is more than tennis, I think people are like, what? But that's true for anybody, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And you ask, they'll ask you a question. They're like, what? And again, really confused, but yeah. So have you ever had like to change your style of coaching? I assume so, but like to assist a player who was kind of like struggling with an aspect of something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Every day. You know, I don't want to go into a rabbit hole here, but you know, I was coaching pre-COVID, coaching post-COVID. And I think a lot of people don't really think about that. And I have a lot of mentors of mine that coach different sports. And, you know, a lot of times, it's not a criticism of them, but a lot of times I hear them say things like, oh, I just wish things went back to the way they used to be. And I'm like, well, they're not. They're not going to. This is where we're at now. Things are different. Communication's different. The things that kids need are different. And, I mean, I just talked about this last night with a reporter from the Herald Bulletin. It's that things are just different. And every day I'm trying to figure out, how do I help kids find their motivation? What are they motivated by? It's, I think that's the biggest task, but also the most enjoyment I have in coaching is working with so many different individuals that all have different needs. And I might have a coaching style, sure, but at the end of the day, it's not like I can't expect my players to have to fit into my coaching style. It's my job as the adult to figure out how to communicate and mentor them. I mean, that's gotta be the priority, and it's never easy. But I think if that's the focus, we're all doing better.
Yeah, I mean, like adapting around the players.
Absolutely.
But like, as you said, for like pre-COVID, how was that? And like post-COVID, how hard was that? Or like, how'd that go?
Yeah, I mean, I could write a book on that. So I'll try to kind of pinpoint, I guess, my takeaways. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is when COVID happened, I was coaching college at the time and getting away from that. You know, the schedules changed so much that people started to like sit back and question what they really wanted to do. Do they really want to play tennis? The work-life balance, what does that look like? And I think that after that, people found things that were important to them, like maybe work-life balance or having more time, but they didn't want to give back, you know? Yeah. So it's hard to pinpoint exactly what all changed. I just know specifically communication, how much is asked of kids is just different. You know, it's just very different.
Yeah, I mean, like, my brother, as I said, he went from he was going to become, like, a nurse or, like, a doctor. I don't know exactly. But instead, during that, like, COVID time, when we were all, like, locked down in our houses, he decided that's when he wanted to go, like, adventuring after that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the short thing is when life, you know, in the United States, we move so fast. I mean, we're doing anything we can to not sleep. We're drinking coffee. We're buying Celsius. Like, the market for trying to avoid sleep, the market for avoiding stopping, you know, I mean, this is kind of maybe grotesque. It's not, but like I was jokingly say, people can't even go to the bathroom anymore without listening to music. They take their AirPods with them. So like, we don't like silence. We don't like waiting. We don't like stopping. And I think when COVID happened, at least in my experience with a lot of people I know, it almost Mother Nature said, hey, you're going to have to stop. You're going to have to figure out who you are and what's important to you. And you know, it was a horrible time for everybody, but at the same time, I think a lot of people had, you know, introspective time to figure out what they want to do, and especially college kids. A lot of transfers happened after that. A lot of people didn't come back, or they wanted to stay home, you know? So it was interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, looking back at it, how much has changed in just our psyche from that moment going forward.
Yeah. So like, what are some like common mental barriers that you like see in players?
Oh man. Yeah, I'm just going to be blunt, 'cause I'm blunt with my players all the time. I'm not a Pendleton guy per se. I grew up in the area. I'm fully invested now. I live in Carmel. I commute here. Love this place. One of the things that I've noticed is, and I'm generalizing, this is a hot take, but one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of times here in our Pendleton athletics, we almost have this entitlement when we play schools we know we should beat. And then we have like the reverse entitlement when we play schools that we're afraid to beat. And it's like, we're constantly doing everything based on expectations. Like, well, we're playing Newcastle, so we should win. Well, you're not playing Newcastle. You're playing John Doe, who happens to play said sport for Newcastle, right? And the same thing goes for Hamilton Southeastern or Carmel. Oh, my God, we're playing Carmel. Okay, yeah, great. They bleed the same as you. They have the same insecurities as you. It's just a bigger school. And I think sometimes those expectations of things really get in the way of the underlying goal, which is just to compete, not to win, not to lose, but just to compete. So that's something we talk about a lot of changing the culture. This is kind of mean, but I call it the mentality, like this Pendleton mentality that we have to change the mentality. And our kids know all about that. So we're just learning, what does it mean to compete? What do good competitors look like? And that's, at the end of the day, that's what we want, is that a process oriented, like we just have fun competing. Easier said than done, but that's been our mantra for the last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, especially with what you said, like, definitely it's like, I mean, hold on. I was thinking about it, but it's like that one with like records too, like with Mount Vernon being 1-4, like, oh, we beat them, like maybe last year, correct, we'll say. And it's like, oh, we're going to beat them again.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, my grandma used to always say comparison is the thief of joy. And I think we live in a time where analytics and data is everywhere. Like if you watch SportsCenter, like, when I was a kid watching SportsCenter, and I'm young, I'm not saying I'm not young, but I remember even like 20 years ago when I was watching SportsCenter, there wasn't as much data on the screen. Like it was literally someone did a cool play or something cool and Chris Berman would be like, what? And make his little sounds and stuff. And now everything's data, everything's analytics.
Sorry. Yeah.
And, you know, analytics are great, but also analytics sometimes get in the way of your belief system because you're like, oh, well, we've never won a state title, so we can't now. You know, and it's like, you just got to cut that stuff out. Like, it's okay to believe crazy stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, there's also, like, with the new year that happens, there's also going to be new players.
Correct.
So it's like, you got to deal with those players, too. It's not like you're going against the old players who you just played.
Right.
But so, like, do you find any drills or exercises, like, particularly effective in trainings?
Yeah, it's kind of mean. We're kind of, I don't think that I'm hard on the kids, but I think it's harder than what they've been used to, and it's only going to get worse. So like we do, I'm really big into accountability and setting rules. Like I don't like punishment, right? Like if a kid's on a free throw line and he misses a free throw, making them run, you know, sometimes you could argue, well, then now he's afraid to shoot the free throw. So you got to be careful with that stuff. At the same time though, if you're not comfortable doing hard things, then when hard moments arise, you're going to buckle and you're going to run from that situation. And that's just the reality. So we do a lot of drills where there's accountability, like, hey, you got to hit 20 balls in a row, every ball that goes in the net, everybody on the team's doing 20 burpees. I mean, we did the first 2 weeks of season, we did that. Every ball that touched the net, we did burpees. And I feel kind of bad. The kids got blisters on their hands, but nobody told me the courts were hot. But my point being, they accepted the terms, we did it. But if there's not accountability and you're not doing hard things, then you won't be ready to do hard things. And I think it doesn't have to be so scary. We've got to like get to the point where we enjoy doing hard things. That's why I give so much credit to swimmers, to long distance runners. I mean, they do hard things every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're more likely to be ready in those moments. So to answer your question, any drills we do, I always try to make it like there's an accountability. I'm not a punishment. Like if you do what I ask, if you don't put the ball in the net, no one's running. It's just if you put the ball in the net, we're running. It's as simple. So.
Yeah. So like, what's the biggest challenge you faced in your like years of coaching?
I mean, I'm still really young. So like I got a lot ahead of me. And this is why I try to call a lot of coaches that have coached longer than me, because I don't have much to tap into. But in my experience, the biggest challenge is I don't think people believe in themselves enough. And I think there's a lot of key inhibitors of that. Like we talked about this already. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of data to show you that you can't do something, right? Like if you listen, and this is why it's almost better to be dumb as an athlete than be smart. And I say that tongue in cheek. Obviously, like we want to always educate ourselves. I just mean like the smarter you are and the more data you're looking at, the easier it is to believe you cannot do something because you're a minority. So I think that sometimes analytics gets in the way of that. You know, peer pressure gets in the way of that. Another thing I've experienced since COVID, and especially with your guys' generation, I think it's a beautiful thing, but it's interesting. You're such a social community generation that a lot of my kids don't want to be the best because they feel guilty that someone else might want to be.
Yeah.
And this is so hard for me to comprehend. I've had so many girls. I'm like, what's your goal? I'm like, well, I want to be one singles, but so-and-so might want to be one singles. And I'm like, I can't wrap my head around that, but I get it. So I think that's the hardest challenge is there's so many things inhibiting belief right now in the world. And we almost need to like slow things down and get back to believing crazy dreams. You know, that's a healthy thing. It's an okay thing to do that.
Mm. So for our final question, do you hope to leave a legacy behind? I mean, of course, yeah, specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I would be lying if I said I didn't have individual goals, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't need a statue out in front of myself somewhere. But at the end of the day, I think what matters most is I want tennis to be the legacy. Yeah, I carry pride to know that I'm the one behind that. But even if I were to quit tomorrow, if I put something in motion that's going forward, I mean, again, I want Pendleton Heights to be successful. Selfishly, I want tennis to kind of come out of nowhere and in this area be known as when did Pendleton become a tennis juggernaut? We got a lot of work to do. I'm not saying that's going to come just because I want it to or I wish it. But that's the legacy I want. Not just for tennis, but Pendleton athletics. And it's just that my job is to do it through tennis. So. Mm-hmm.
So that is all the time we have today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
But we'll be right back here on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at CowanChiropracticCenter.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, and I'm joined here with the DB coach of the varsity football team, Coach Trout. How's your day going so far?
Oh, so far so good for a homecoming rainy, windy day so far.
Yeah, so this is being recorded on Friday, so I'm going to ask questions, preemptively. We don't know the outcome of Friday's game. Hopefully it will be played Friday, knock on wood. So to start, give a little introduction on yourself. How long have you been coaching? Why'd you start, and why DBs?
Well, start with how long. It's been about 30 years. I've been doing this for a long time and started when I was in college, and I just had an interest. I met a football coach, and I told him I was interested in getting into coaching, and he gave me a contact number, and then bachelor middle school, here we come. So I coached there for a little while, and then I got into education, and the rest is history. So I've been teaching and coaching here at Pendleton Heights for the last 7 years.
How different is it coaching at a middle school level to a high school level?
Oh, it's all sorts of different. And middle school, big school, small school. I've had the fortune to be able to do a lot of different levels at a lot of different places, and football, football's taken me quite a few places, and it's been an awesome ride. So I'm in my landing ground here in Pendleton. I'm not going anywhere else. So I'm enjoying what's going on here in Pendleton and my role here as DB's coach, which you had mentioned. Why DB's? We just had a need for a DB's coach. Coach special teams. I coached defensive backs, and I had coached defensive backs before, so that experience, made me a natural fit for this position.
So, since you're the DB's coach, have you practiced any different this week based on the weather? Do you normally practice different every week based on if we were seeing snow? Of course, I really hope we're not seeing snow, but you get the idea.
I joke with the offensive guys all the time. I tell them I hope it just pours, and. No, it doesn't change the way we do things because we don't have to handle the ball except for, in a possession contest. And so for us, it's no big deal. It's the same as, if we're reading our keys and if we're flying around, it's going to be a fun day for defensive backs no matter what the weather is.
So who's been that player that's improved, from original, I guess, training camp to now? Who's had the most improvement and it's possibly a bright light, maybe for the future? Maybe it's a senior that's finally, getting the recognition they deserve.
As a group, because as you know, we graduated a lot of seniors last year. As a group, we've improved as a position group as much as anybody has. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but the guys show up every day. Coach Bishop coaches defensive backs with me. I coach safeties. He coaches corners. He challenges them by grading film and giving them feedback almost on a daily basis. And we've watched over the past several weeks, everybody from Michael Hooker to Braden Falk to Jacob Rowley to Caden Sims, who is a convert from wide receiver on the offensive side to now he's playing both ways, to Jax Flynn. I mean, they're all doing a good job. And then we move Wyatt Elijah from outside backer to corner to safety on the matter of a 2 week period. And he's flourishing. So a lot of credit to Coach Bishop and, you know, the kids for doing the work. But I mean, as a group, we've all gotten better.
So it is homecoming week, of course, like I said, Friday when we're recording this. What does that change for you as a coach? You know, are the lights any brighter? Is it any more difficult? What's that like, you know, in practice or on game day?
You know, it's kind of cheesy and cliche, but it's another game for us. You know, the dress up days, we as a coaching staff, we love the fact that there's attention on football, but our attention is just on football. You know, so we focus the, no matter how big or how small, quote unquote, small the game is, our preparation starts on Saturday afternoon with breakdown of film. We meet as a staff for 4 or 5 hours on Sunday. We come up with our game plan and then we present it to the players on Monday. And then we make adjustments on the fly Tuesday and Wednesday. So for me, being a routine person, it's routine. You know, today I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat a sandwich. I'm going to come back to school. I'm going to drink a water. I'm going to help Coach Jesse carry out the film equipment. I'm going to, you know, walk up to the top of the press box. I'm going to, you know, it's just routine. And, I park in the same spot. I do, you know, just do, it's not superstition. It's just routine. I just do the same thing on game day, no, regardless of the game. Now, Pendleton's homecoming is special. And I try to explain it to new people. We have new teachers here and they're like, oh yeah, homecoming. I'm like, no, you don't understand. You know, when they see the floats and the parade and everything, and you know, the kids are already, you walk in today and the kids, I mean, there's a buzz in the school as the kids are doing the rock, paper, scissors tournament. You know, trying to figure out who the champion's going to be and passing off the beads and everything else. So, I mean, it's already a crazy environment. But again, for me, first period starts at 7:30 and we're going to go, you know.
So going back to, you know, the actual game, your players, for them, it's also homecoming week. How do they avoid distraction? And how do you teach that to just, you know, laser focus in? That's got to be difficult.
It is, but, you know, we have to remind them. I mean, and that's not a, just a homecoming thing. It's you know, as a mentor, as an adult mentor to a student athlete, you have to remind them to stay focused. And some it's easier than others because maturity happens at different times for different age of kids. But for this week, I mean, the kids have been focused. We've had our best week of practice we've had this year. So there's no doubt that when they've been there on the field that it's been about football. And about our football game and not necessarily the things going on outside of it. So commendable to the kids. Now they have to make that translate into Friday night, you know, and translate that focus into, hey, you know, we're here to play a football game. So I'm hoping that they do. But again, that's part of the learning process that it is high school sports, and that's why we do it.
Okay, so a little bit about you. So you're a teacher here at Pendleton Heights. You've got a son that just graduated, played football. You have a daughter that plays basketball. I don't know what the bells are doing. I'm sorry if you can hear that. But, you know, you're very active in the community, and you already talked about, you know, Pendleton does homecoming special. What does it mean for you to see, you know, your kids go through this program while you're still in it? And what does it mean? You know, it's great. It's homecoming. It's a great week for Pendleton.
It is. And it's basically the homecoming is kind of like the snapshot of Pendleton. You know, we celebrate Pendleton year round. And by that, I mean that like the community celebrates this community year round. We just get to do it a little bit more on homecoming. And that's what makes this place special, you know, special to us, the Trouts. You know, you mentioned Nick and Mamie and their mother. We're all Pendleton people. And, you know, Nick's away, but we're talking to him every day and he's wanting to know how things are going. And he still has Pendleton's still a special spot to him. And Mamie doesn't probably realize it yet, but, you know, as a junior, she's, you know, coming to that the end of that high school career. And, you know, it's happening very quickly. And, you know, I know that this is a special place for her, too. I know because of the amount of time and effort she puts into things around here. So for us as a family, you're right. It's a very special place. And homecoming kind of embodies that love of the town and that love of the community. And it's kind of one day wrapped up or a 2 day wrapped up event, you know, following with the dance tomorrow and all the students getting their pictures taken in the park. I mean, just some, you know, the normal regular celebrations that are that make this place special.
Well, Coach, thank you. That is all I have for you here today. Good luck on Friday, which, you know, Marauder down, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Arabian up.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone 765-221-5900. Online at drdanawright.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the final segment here of the Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. Looking up next week's schedule, starting off with girls soccer. We've got the Lady Arabians traveling to Mount Vernon on Monday for a 7 o'clock kickoff. And then following that, they'll be home to Hamilton Heights on Wednesday. Again, 7 o'clock kickoff for that match as well. Switching over to the boys' side of things, the Arabians take on Shelbyville at Shelbyville on Tuesday at 7 p.m., as well as hosting New Pal on Thursday at 7 p.m. A little bit, not too long from now, as the summer all, we'll be taking on the rest of the field in regionals and girls golf at Edgewood Golf Course. Get on out and support that Lady Arabian. Hopefully she does well today. Volleyball in action, hosting Shelbyville on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. That match start time there. And then at Greenfield Central, that's going to be on Thursday. It's 7:30 match start as well. Cross country, that's happening today. The Hoosier Heritage Conference meet at Shelbyville for both boys and girls. Girls starting here in just a few minutes. Boys starting an hour from now. Tennis boys, the Newcastle match going on today at 11:30. Then they're going to be at Eastern Hancock on Monday at 4:30. And then sectional start at Fishers on Wednesday at 4:30. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks, Coach Richmond, Coach Beard, Coach Trout, Michael Hooker, the rest of our donors and underwriters. And thank you so much for listening. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.